From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. And do we have a doozy of a program for you tonight. So stand by. Here's what's happening. NASA is expected to make a major announcement Thursday on the progress of its Kepler spacecraft, which has been staring at one patch of space for evidence of other worlds. This could be a huge story. The space agency has set an afternoon teleconference with reporters to discuss the results from Kepler, which include the discovery of what they call an intriguing planetary system. Our science advisor, Richard C. Hoagland, will watch this news conference, and he'll report back to us on a Thursday night show. The Gulf of Mexico oil spill has revealed a previously unknown type of oil-eating bacteria, which is suddenly flourishing. The scientists discovered the new microbe while studying the underwater dispersion of millions of gallons of oil spilled into the Gulf following the explosion of BP's Deepwater Horizon drilling rig. The microbe works without significantly depleting oxygen in the water, according to researchers led by Terry Hazen at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. They published this on the online journal Science Express. New studies reveal that major quake shakes around Southern California happen about every 88 years, which is three times more often than they thought, according to seismologists. This means that the area is overdue for a massive quake along the San Andreas Fault. And for years, scientists thought that the major earthquakes occurred every 250 to 450 years along this fault line. Well, now they say the next earthquake could be sooner than later. Scientists dug up trenches deep into the Carrizo Plain. Then they used carbon dating and sophisticated imaging technology to find signs of earlier earth movements. They were able to detect earthquakes dating back to the 15th century. Jim Berkland, who watches the earthquakes for us, he's on the line with us. Jim, you've been saying we're due for a big one for some time now, so maybe it is going to happen.
Well, it's most interesting that about every month they come out with a brand new discovery that, hey, the big one is imminent. And I would say that September looks especially prone this coming seismic window between the 6th and the 13th of September, because we're having the fourth Peridian spring tide. This only happens four times a year, where we have the closest approach to the moon within 24 hours of the syzygy, and this is happening on the 8th of September. My window opens 2 days earlier. In the last window, in August, we had three major quakes around the Ring of Fire.
Yeah, we sure did. This is a pretty active planet.
Most unusual. We've had like 18 major quakes so far this year, and the average is about 16 a year, and we've got a couple of 3 months left to go.
Why is the planet so active, Jim?
Well, it seems to be periodic, and when you have it's that part of the cycle, and we're seeing extremely high tides at the same time as the perigee and syzygy, and that's what creates those windows. And I remember back in '89 when we had the World Series quake, we only had six major quakes the entire year, and that local one was the one that we had. And then here, but the first quake in 20 years that was a major in Southern California was on the California-Mexico border, 7.2, 2 days before the syzygy, before the opening of the window. And then the previous one was also 2 days before the opening of the window in 1992 when the Landers quake hit.
When everybody says the big one's coming, how big are we talking about?
Well, they've kind of lowered it from the old former 8.2, 8.3. They said now 7.9 is what the top number, but it's just a number. We got to see, and they're also not looking at the Richter scale, which is the old standard. They're using the moment magnitude scale, which isn't even based on a reading from a seismogram. It's based on the area of the fault zone, the depth, and the strength of the rocks. So it's not quite as accurate as I think as the old Richter scale, but we're looking at increased probability of larger quakes, and well, this recent study is almost startling in that it says it's only you get a big quake about every 45 years instead of every 250 years.
Yeah, which you would have thought, Jim, that they would have known about that some time ago. Jim's website is linked up right now on our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Thanks, Jim. The amount that consumers owed on their credit cards in this year's second quarter dropped to the lowest level in more than 8 years as cardholders continued to pay off balances in this very uncertain economy. The average combined debt for bank-issued credit cards like those with a MasterCard or Visa logo fell to $4,951 in the 3 months ending June 30th, down more than 13% from the same period a year ago. Facebook is now worth as much as $33.7 billion based on secondary market transactions, giving the privately held company an implied valuation greater than the market capitalizations of the publicly traded internet companies such as eBay and Yahoo. Common stock in Facebook is trading as high as $76 a share as private investors scramble to get a piece of the company before it files for an initial public offering, which analysts say could be the biggest technology IPO since Google's $1.67 billion deal in 2004. And three teens who were on a 69-name hit list posted on Facebook have apparently been killed in the past 10 days in a southwestern Colombian town. Police say they don't know who posted the list or why the names are on it. Next hour, David Kirkpatrick joins us. We will discuss Facebook and other social networking sites. Fascinating program in store. A Graham, North Carolina funeral home director is being investigated by the state after a decomposing body was found last week in a hearse that was parked under a shade tree for more than a week. David Lawson, the owner of the Lawson Mortuary, could have his funeral license revoked as a result of this incident. Now, that decision, of course, will be up to the North Carolina Board of Funeral Service in Raleigh, which is looking into this incident. Ever see an alligator kind of shimmying down the street? Well, two gators in the Chicago River, one strolling down a Massachusetts street, another in New York City, and that's just in the past few weeks. From North Dakota to Indiana, alligators are showing up far from their traditional southern habitats, including a three-footer captured in the Chicago River. Experts say this is not the latest sign of some climate change. Instead, they believe the creatures almost certainly were pets that escaped or were dumped by their owners. And a man in China, there's a story in the news at coasttocoastam.com, there's a picture here, has been growing his nails on his left hand for 13 years to help him control his temper. He was always getting into fights before he decided to grow his nails. His longest nail is 14 inches long and prevents him from making his hand into a fist. He says, when I was young, I was very bad-tempered. I was very aggressive and always getting into trouble. So I decided to grow my nails to help me control my temper because it makes me think before throwing a punch. Well, if it works for him, go for it. Up next, we're going to be talking about stem cell repair and heart repair as well. A major story with Christian Wild and Dr. Nabil Deeb on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Christian Wild, you all know him, author, researcher. He has devoted part of his life to helping others avoid health issues. Christian became aware of his own non-cholesterol-related heart disease, which inspired him to help others. Here he is. Christian, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Oh, it's nice to talk to you, George, after hearing that earthquake information. I think I want to run out and rent a U-Haul.
Well, I'm coming back to L.A. pretty soon, and it's to happen when I'm back, I guarantee it. And Dr. Nabil Deeb is the president of the Heart Sciences Center and director of cardiovascular research at the Mercy Gilbert and Chandler Regional Medical Centers. Here he is on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program, doctor. How are you?
Good evening.
Good, good. Kristen, tell us a little bit about the relationship with Dr. Deeb here.
Well, Dr. Deeb is a scientist and a gentleman. I owe him a lot. He is a mentor. He has been open to me. Incidentally, we just filmed Dr. Deeb. Jim Castle and myself are working on a TV project, and we went to Gilbert, Arizona, to film Dr. Deeb in an interview. When the final chapter is written on heart failure, and it's not that far away, as we talk tonight, George, there are 22 million people dying of congestive heart failure. Dr. Deeb, along with his colleagues, and I want to give them credit because they are so important and vital to this science. Dr. Sherman, Warren Sherman from Columbia University, you had him on the show with me before. Dr. Doris Taylor, Professor Taylor at the University of Minnesota, Dr. Amit Patel at the University of Utah, Dr. Joshua Hare, formerly with Johns Hopkins, and Timothy Henry at the Minnesota Heart Institute, and Douglas Lasorto. All of these gentlemen have contributed to miracle stem cell heart repair, and they stand on the brink of a procedure that they have worked on for several years that is showing absolute tremendous success. And for those people out there tonight who are wondering if anything can be done for you, because heart failure, there has never been a cure for it. And yet, George, on your show, from your audience, people who have gone through the therapy have recovered from near death to recovery in a one-time procedure that Dr. Deeb has pioneered. It's a great honor to be on with you.
Super. Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Doctor, and I've got to tell you, too, this comes home to me because the brother of a dear friend of mine had surgery in St. Louis last week, and apparently his cardiologist said, look, your aorta is got an aneurysm. It is going to rupture. We got to do something about it. They gave him two options. One is they said they could have put an artificial aorta in him. The other, they said, a cow's aorta, which they said will last you maybe 10 years. They recommended the artificial one. He, the patient, elected to go with the cow aorta, and also they had to put in a pig's valve. So he's got two animal parts in him. But they did it. Then they sewed him up. Then he started bleeding. I guess through the drainage, they could tell that he was still bleeding a lot. He wasn't clotting. So they had to open him up again, and they did 2.5 hours more of work, and they sewed him back up again. Today he was to go home feeling fine, and his heart stopped. They opened him up again. Now they put a pacemaker on him, and they're not sure if the valve's going to work. What a mess. What a mess. I don't know what he could have done. Would stem cells have worked in his case?
So far, it's the stem cell in terms of cardiovascular disease applied for the heart muscle itself, and in some occasion in the early research in the valve. However, so far, nothing done yet in the aortic area. But the field of tissue engineering, that including stem cell and matrix, currently under very heavy investigation, and I think that's something for the future.
Mm-hmm. Now, worldwide, how many patients do you think already have stem cells for the heart?
At least there is more than 2,500 patients receive a stem cell in one way or the other, and whether a bone marrow-derived stem cell or a skeletal muscle-derived stem cell.
And are we seeing some remarkable results so far?
I think still definitely we are in the early stages of research in this kind of biotechnology field. But the result is very promising in the phase one and phase two clinical trial. And currently, in some centers, the phase three clinical trial, which is just before marketing and before the availability to the general public, is underway.
Now, Christian, when you wrote your book, My Heart Book, which I think is one of the best when it comes to, you know, cardiovascular disease and helping people out, and, you know, you outline the various alternative treatments for people and everything else. Did you realize at that point when you were writing that book how stem cells would be so important for somebody with heart problems?
Not really. It was shortly after that, though, that I did become aware of it. And there are several of Dr. Deeb's patients in the book, their stories. So he's been doing this for a long time. You know, you were talking about the pig valve or the bovine aortic valve. When a patient is older, they will tend to give him the mechanical. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Deeb. The younger patients, it's the reverse. The younger
He is a younger patient.
Yeah. Because they can outlive the bovine or the animal tissue valve. So that's a concern when they give you the choice.
Yeah, they told him. They told him specifically. They said, if you take the animal valve and the animal aorta, we're going to have to do this again in about 10 years.
That's the point, yeah.
And that's very, very interesting because that's correct. Well, if they take the mechanical valve, it might last longer, but also they need to be on anticoagulation therapy, such as warfarin. And consequently, they will avoid many of the aggressive activity in their life. However, currently, there's many investigation underway to use a stem cell. As you know, the reason why they told him that valve would last maybe 8 to 12 years, because the valve that they are using from the pig is they are using the valve without a stem cell in it. Basically, the stem cell is not there. While currently there's investigation and there's some centers such as Professor Yacoub, who work with us on many projects, have discovered the stem cell that kind of produce the valve material. So I think in the future is going to be a stem cell with the collagen material in the valve, both of them synthesized, and both of them transplanted, and consequently, that valve, which is going to be called living valve, can last for a long time.
Will it
and
ever
that's
get
what
to...
tissue engineering is going to make to be in the future. It's a major breakthrough.
The school of regenerative medicine, yes.
Yeah. Well, now will we ever get to the point where you don't have to do the transplant with the grown organ or you know piece of tissue, but that you merely inject the stem cell into, let's say, the valve or the artery, and it grows literally a brand new one in the body. Is that possible?
And that's what the goal. That's what the goal. I still think not every patient in the world you can avoid the transplant, but I think the majority of the patients should be. And I think that's our goal. And currently, for example, we were talking about the stem cell. We've been doing stem cell since the year 2000. The first patient in the United States was in the year 2000 until now. And the stem cell underwent a major revolution in terms of the research. First, you just can't imagine that one can take stem cell or piece of tissue from the same patient, isolate stem cell and transplant them to the heart. And those stem cells could be taken from skeletal muscle or could be taken now from the bone marrow. In the early stages of research, we were able to take them from the skeletal muscle. And we're able to transplant the stem cell to the heart during the thoracic surgery, when the chest is open. And then the new and in the year 2002 demonstrated that the stem cells survive in the heart and make a new tissue. And those cells were able to replace a scar tissue caused by heart attack. That's one of the first major finding in the science in terms of the stem cell.
That's one of the dramatic things. Theoretically, if a person dies from old age, let's say the person's in their 90s, their organs are still working well, everything's intact, they don't have cancer, but they just die. Why do they die? Does the heart just merely stop at that point?
Actually, yes, it does. This. In the end, the patient died because their heart stopped. It could be many reasons for the death, many other organs, not only the heart, but the heart is one of the organs. But finally, the heart has to stop for the patient to die.
Okay, if we had stem cells, would the heart muscle theoretically be like it was when it was 15 or 20 years old, even in a 90-year-old?
That's very interesting. Very interesting question. And the question has been asked many times. I think it's difficult to answer. But clearly now the trend, the tendency is, I was just going to, talking about the development, what happened in stem cell. But currently, instead of taking the stem cell from every patient and transplant it to the same patient, with a discovery or certain kind of stem cell in the bone marrow, one can transplant those cells from one donor, one can obtain a treatment of stem cell to treat 10,000 to 15,000 patients.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. One donor.
So now you can imagine, you take a stem cell from 24 years old, and you kind of transplant them to 70 and 80 years and 90 years old.
Without rejection.
So, without a rejection. So far, we completed the phase one clinical trial in the United States with 60 patients, and so far we did not see evidence of rejection.
That's amazing. We'll be back in a moment. We'll talk about how stem cells will affect healthcare as well. Well, next hour, David Kirkpatrick joins us as we talk about the Facebook effect and the incredible phenomenon of the social networking sites. And we've got a lot of comments from coast-to-coast listeners that I'll read to you next hour as well, how they view Facebook. And Lex has been accumulating them, so we'll share some of those. Pretty fascinating. When we come back, we're with Christian Wild and Dr. Nabil Deeb as we talk about stem cells, and we'll take your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Christian, what does your research show about costs of stem cells and how it will affect the cost of healthcare here?
Well, we've heard for years that there will be a positive result from stem cells in as far as the cost of health care, that is completely out of control at this point. But nobody that I know of, George, and maybe you've heard, but I've not heard anyone specifically show how one disease can benefit financially and economically as far as stem cells are concerned. Let me take the one disease we're talking about tonight, which is heart failure. Heart failure currently costs the American healthcare system $39.2 billion a year. Over 10 years, you could extrapolate that that's close to $500 billion. An individual who has a heart attack might immediately need open heart surgery, very expensive, rehab, and then starts the medications. That same individual might have a second, a third, or even a fifth or sixth heart attack, like people you and I have talked to. And that cost is mounting. Also, the person loses their productivity in the workforce. So as a country, we lose in that regard also.
And they get depressed.
That's very depressive. It is a depressive disease. And as these individuals go on, they might need a pacemaker. They might need a second open heart surgery. They need stem cells. I mean, they need stents. And then eventually, they go into first, second, third, fourth, end stage heart failure. Generally about 6 or 7 years after the first heart attack, as the left ventricle enlarges, they might begin heart failure. This is a tremendous cost to the healthcare system. Now, 800,000 admissions and readmissions to hospitals for stays generally of 6 or 7 days for patients who are building up water around their pulmonary edema around the heart, around the ankles, around the abdomen, and this water has to be drained off and the patient has to be stabilized. And that can happen 4 or 5 times a year. These are added costs. Now, one treatment, Dr. Deeb can address this, but one treatment of your own stem cells in a 45 or 50 minute procedure in which the patient feels no pain and goes home the next day,
amazing,
eliminates all of this cost. It's amazing when you think about it, but nobody's really talking about it. That's how stem cells can affect one catastrophic disease.
Dr. Deeb, let me ask you, do you see the day where people just in a routine examination will go in, get their stem cells cultured, and get injected just for preventative maintenance? Is that possible?
There is some early research that is showing that injecting a stem cell repetitively over 3 months can decrease the plaque burden of the atherosclerotic disease. So for prevention, I think we are still in the early stages, but there is some early data showing that.
I got a question for Dr. Deeb, George.
Sure, go ahead.
Dr. Deeb, would you care to estimate what the cost might be? And I understand that this is not carved in stone, but what the cost of the procedure that we're talking about that I've witnessed at the Arizona Heart Institute with you, that some of our patients from the show have already gone through, like Ron Furstad, how much would you think that could possibly cost as compared to all of these costs that I just outlined?
Yes, definitely. It will be a very cheap technology when you compare it to patients who have heart failures and multiple admission to the hospital because of a heart failure. So the estimations, probably what, it is fair to say a $30,000 treatment reasonable.
And the cost of a pacemaker is more than that, isn't it? Or a defibrillator?
That's correct. A ICD defibrillators with pacemaker with the maintenance in 1 year, approximately $60,000.
Is it a fair question?
Transplant in the range of $200,000.
Mm.
So it would not be costly therapy if truly we can treat this kind of patients. And the early, I think we are now having tendency to treat the patients very early. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, right now in the United States, there's program to treat immediately after the heart attack, not mm-hmm. waiting until the heart failure occur.
Yeah, they're doing that at Cedars,
treat
too.
Patients who just have heart attack within 7 days. Mm-hmm. And just to answer your question about can you envision it to be an easy process, actually, this protocol approved to treat patients that the patients come to the hospital, take their stem cell intravenously, mm-hmm. intravenous injection, and 4 hours go home.
And off they go.
So, George, if Dr. Deeb's and Dr. Taylor's breakthrough with the skeletal myoblast treatment is effective on patients who have had their heart attacks 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, and many of the patients in the trials have had 4 and 5 heart attacks, if that's effective for those people in heart failure, and the new treatments that they're talking about, like Dr. Deeb just mentioned, where they don't wait till you get into heart failure, but they immediately begin your stem cell recovery.
Treatment. Yeah.
Look what they are doing to this disease. This is that scourge of the number one killer of people worldwide.
I think anybody who, let's say, becomes 40, they can go in and get one of these, stem cell injections.
It's amazing.
My gosh. And what about cancer, Dr. Deeb? Can you isolate the tumor beyond all the things that people should do on their own, to boost their immune system? Can you isolate the tumor and shoot it with stem cells and eradicate a cancer?
There is some kind of cancers and known glioma and brain cancer that are treated with a stem cell that programmed with certain vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So that area, again, progressive. The area of cancer, the area of diabetes, they become extremely, extremely important. And the other area of heart failure, I think those are carry tremendous burden on the economy and healthcare in the United States.
George, there's 3,153. Of course, this number changes all the time. But when I checked last week, there were 3,153 stem cell trials supervised by the government, and 1,366, Dr. Deeb, are using bone marrow. As a matter of fact, I've been able to increase my bone marrow production by 3 million cells a day. And anybody wants to read about it, learn how, it's on my website.
Very good. Let's go to the calls. John is in Seattle, and you're up. Go ahead, John.
George, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Christian, this is John in Seattle.
That's yes, nice John in Seattle. How are you,
and,
sir?
Pretty good. And Dr. Deeb, it's nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
6 months ago, George, I heard Christian on your show, and I called Christian, and he went ahead and recommended that I read the stem cell research reports, which I did, and his books. And he put me in touch with one of the doctors in Salt Lake City, and I started taking some of the recommendations in regards to preparation for stem cell treatment. At the time I contacted Christian, my ejection ratio was down to 15. I couldn't even walk upstairs in my house without literally being exhausted. I couldn't even breathe. And right now today, because of all the things I'm doing, I'm walking a quarter of a mile a day without even being tired. And it is my hopes to get involved in stem cell treatment instead of doing what my medical doctors here in Seattle have recommended, and that is a heart transplant. So I am very, very thankful to your show and getting a chance to listen and talk with Christian and be exposed to this. And I so much am interested in being able to take part in stem cell treatment as soon as I get the last qualification I have to do, and that is to get my weight down.
Good for you, but, John.
Thank you so much for being able to meet people like Christian on the show and Dr. Deebs and be able to find out what you can actually do as alternative to these archaic methods like going out and, you know, having your heart transplanted and replaced.
George, this is a man who specializes his company, Real Glacier Water. He's an authority on alkaline water.
Well,
as a matter of fact, his company, his company, George, takes water that's 10,000 years old from the base of Mount Rainier. And he has done many medical studies and financed endurance studies and the importance of alkaline water. And, of course, when we talked about cancer before, we stressed that cancer doesn't want to live in an alkaline body. It prefers an acidosis in an acidic state.
Well, I got to tell you, Christian, you know, with all the things we do on this program, the fun, the entertainment, the information, nothing is more satisfying to me than to hear someone like John call this program.
Isn't that nice?
And just know that it's helped him the way it has. I mean,
George, it was almost 3 years ago that you encouraged me to start writing the turmeric and the stem cell research report. It's been almost 3 years, and I have to thank you for that. There's an awful lot of information in there that people have benefited from.
Absolutely.
And
Jackie.
It's very easy to read report. I have a lot of feedback from our patients regarding the marigold stem heart repair and the Andy Wild stem cell research report. So thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Dr.
He's one of the best. West Frankfort, Illinois. Jackie's there. Hey, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
First of all, Mr. Norris, thank you for this, your guest tonight, because this is going to really help me out. I have two questions. I just found out that my dad has to have the arterial valve replaced. The first question is, I know you mentioned for like the animal valve has an expectancy of 10 years. If he has the plastic one put in, what's the life expectancy on that?
Go ahead, doctor. You're better qualified.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, the durability is for a long time. It's supposed to be for the lifetime. The only difference between the two is that when you have the mechanical valve, is that he need to take warfarin or Coumadin as a blood thinner.
Okay. Forever.
Forever.
And the second question, the doctor he goes to in Wyoming had sent him to Salt Lake City for a series of tests for 2 days. Now, the doctor told my parents that he has a calcium buildup on the valve. First of all, what causes the calcium buildup? Second, how serious is it? And third, if he has it replaced, will the calcium buildup come back?
Yes, it is very common pathology. Most of the valve actually will have calcification on the valve. And that's age-related. It's an inflammatory process. Any inflammatory process in our body will end up with calcification. And the valve is one of them to form a calcium in the valve. It's part of the repair mechanism that the body usually do. Does not have any impact in terms of the surgery because the valve will be replaced completely. So the leaflet and the calcium will be removed. And the calcium will not build up on the mechanical valve. It might build up in the area of the tissue valve.
Mm-hmm. And on the leaflets, right?
Right.
What do you think of some of the studies with EDTA, that chemical that they're testing to see if it'll flush out your arteries and wipe out the calcium? What do you think of that?
Yeah, so far I did not see any randomized scientific data to support that kind of research.
I've been following that, too, for years. It makes so much sense on its face, but the studies and cardiologists that I've talked to do not see a correlation.
Wasn't there a National Institute study that was being conducted, Christian? It was like an 8-year-long study. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't even know if it's continuing.
Well, I haven't heard any great results from it. Usually they will release certain data, but that is chelation therapy.
Right.
It's very important if you have metals and toxins in your blood. But as far as reducing the calcification, which you'd find on an EBCT, electronic beam to computed tomography, and you would find it there. But that's something Dr. D probably deals with all the time, that calcification.
Yeah, the calcium is important. Currently in cardiovascular medicine, as you know, the computer CT tomography can discover calcification in the blood vessel of the heart. Mm-hmm. And that early discovery is important, meaning that the patients start to accumulate cholesterol plaque in their artery. And that means they are in a risk of having heart attack and cardiovascular events. And at that point of time, they need to really modify their lifestyle mm-hmm. in terms of diet, exercise, and sometimes treatment with the statin agents.
Doctor, what do you recommend people do to keep those pipes clean?
I think clearly the healthy lifestyle in the in terms of diet and exercise are extremely important.
Let's go to Los Angeles. Andrew's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, George. You're a great patriot, and we really love you for all you're doing for the people of America. And Dr. Deves and Christian, thank you for your answering my question, which is, what do you think of Bluegreen LG products, which are supposed to release the stem cells from your bone marrow?
Can I answer that one, George?
That's all yours.
Okay. That's what I'm doing. And if you want to look on the website, take a look, read the information. And that's how I am increasing my stem cell production by 3 million a day. And if I double up, I could probably get up to 5 million. But there's a world of science behind it. Dr. Deve and I talked about it briefly when we were in Arizona.
Well, the body, let's assume you're building up your stem cells, Christian, mm-hmm. on your own.
Okay, when you're young.
Will the body seek out the areas that you need these cells to hit and regrow things?
Absolutely. That's what they do. They're repair cells. These are adult bone marrow cells, which our bodies are built from, all our organs, our tissues. And when we're young, we're producing vast amounts of these stem cells. And that's why if you injure yourself as a child, you heal in 2 or 3 days. As you get older, the degenerative diseases, the arthritis and all of the others, and heart disease, start to take their toll. But these stem cells, these youthful stem cells, are potent and very powerful and very plentiful. When you get into your 20s, already you're starting to lose some of that production. And then comes the aging process and everything else. It's a process, Dr. Deeb, am I correct? It's a process of cellular breakdown.
That's true. It's a belief that it's a balance between, the life is a balance between stem cell production and destruction, mm-hmm. Basically, a cell living and cell dying. And the age of process, it will be less stem cell over time and more cell mm-hmm. just dying. And that's how it is. Stem cells play extremely important role, and there's many environmental factors will affect the stem cell production. Very good example, the cholesterol, diabetes. Patients who have high cholesterol, their stem cell production less, and the vitality of the stem cell is less.
Well, Dr. Deeb, you are in one exciting field right now, and you know what? There could be a Nobel Prize for you one day.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep doing what you're doing. Thank you so much, Dr. Deeb, for being on the program.
Thank you, George. Thank you for inviting me.
And Christian, of course, give your website out, would you please?
www.myheartbook.com. It's one word, myheartbook.com. George, if I could give out the phone number for those of you who are not on computer.
Go for it.
866-STEM, STEM, 123. George, thank you for another night.
Thank you, my friend. Christian Weil, Dr. Nabil Deeb. Miracles with stem cell research, huh? We'll be up next as we go into the social networking program, Facebook, and all these others next on Coast to Coast AM.